Cyclone Nation. You are now tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, presented by Mr. B Clothing. And now, here's your host, Chris Williams.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, of course, brought to you by Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive, Iowa. I'm Chris Williams, joined by Adam Gray on a special 4th of July installment of the podcast. We're going to just talk about barbecues, beer, and America here for the next hour or so. Adam, how are you?
Good, Chris. How you doing? How does it feel to be 30?
I woke up on Monday morning and I drank some prune juice.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched an episode of the Golden Girls.
Is Matlock still on?
Nope. It's off. But I was just tuned into CNN all day long. I just sat and drank coffee and watched CNN all day long.
Did you ever yell at the TV while watching CNN?
No. I just sat in my recliner and I just kicked back. I had WHO 10-4, so I get the farm markets and all that stuff. I had that on in the background, but I just, you know, CNN and the Golf Channel were good for me. Right. I just flipped back. I had one TV on the Golf Channel, one TV on CNN. I feel like a accomplished retired person at this point in my life.
So now you're an old man. Is the Bush Light from three Bush Lights down to like one for you?
Nope. It's actually three to like eight.
Three.
Yep. Because once the clock hits like 5 o'clock somewhere, you know, you change it from the coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're notoriously a guy that eats dinner at like 9:30 at night.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. So
that's a good night.
Yeah. So now are you back to like, what, 5:30, 6 o'clock?
No, I ate dinner yesterday at 4:30 in the afternoon. The early bird special here at the Brick Street Market in Bondurant.
That used to be lunch for you.
Yeah. No, I don't feel much different. I was actually, I won't lie.
Yeah.
I was dreading turning 30 like 6 months ago. But now I just feel a little better about it. I don't know why. It's just a number.
Well, happy birthday, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I feel like I'm 22.
You feel like you're 22?
Yeah. I'm immature. I'll admit it.
Well, your favorite thing to watch is WWE.
I love the WWE.
Yeah.
I love it. I probably, when we go out and have beers with the guys, I probably have too many. But I always have a driver.
Yes, you do.
I always have
you're
a driver.
Responsible.
Yes. I'm not the classiest human being in the world, but I like to think that I've grown up a little bit over the years.
You're selling yourself short. I'm just giving you our time. I'm not too far off from 30, so I...
Well, but you got two boys, so they've really kind of honed you in a little bit.
Yeah, I always say I'm 29 going on 40. You know, I got the gray hairs, I'm out of shape, I'm fat.
And your wife is a lawyer, so, I mean...
Yeah.
She cross-examines everything that you do.
She does. I object a lot. She says overruled. It's my life.
Good stuff. Good stuff. It was a fun party on Friday night. I appreciate you guys doing that for me.
I know they're not an advertiser, Bryce, but shout out to Cachet Bakery for the cake they made you.
That was unbelievable.
A Bush Light, and it looked exactly like a can of Bush Light.
It was a can of Bush Light for my birthday cake.
And it actually tasted better than it looked.
Yeah.
It was
didn't taste as good as a Bush Light, but...
Well, come on.
It was damn good.
It was delicious.
We had a good time back at the Benchwarmers. Benchwarmers there in Ankeny. They got the new party room.
Yeah, it's a great party room.
In the back.
Yeah.
Hey, to plug one other advertiser quickly. So I'm at Mr. B Clothing yesterday. The Mr. B Clothing podcast, obviously. And I walked out. I mean, I thought I was going to die on I-80 from Clive to Bondurant during that storm.
It was nasty, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
Pick up when you're driving?
Yeah, but they were coming in behind me. So, you know, I'm heading east.
Yep.
And that storm, the storm of the century is what it felt like, was right behind me. And I'm not kidding. I pulled off from there on 86th Street onto the interstate. And I bet you, Adam, I was a mile ahead of that thing. I mean, I'm talking like 2-3 minutes ahead of that
thing. And you're just terrified the whole time.
And I was just hauling ass on the way. I was going like 85, 90 trying to get ahead of that. I had to come and get Dirks. Dirks was out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah. So I'm like, and I thought I was going to have enough time. I'm like, you know, my rain late. I had to come get Dirks. I had to save him. And I did. I did. He didn't even get rained on. But, I mean, it wasn't 2-3 minutes, though. But the thing was right behind me, and that was nasty. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen it rain as hard as it did yesterday.
Well, between yesterday and a couple days before that, we've had some unbelievable rainfalls. It was crazy. I was in a meeting yesterday, and I looked outside, and there was no wind. It was calm. I turned around, I turned back and looked outside, and it was just, I mean, the trees look like they're going to blow over. It just came flying through. So, luckily, nothing too bad here in Des Moines. Hopefully, everyone was able to stay safe, and the rest of the week looks good. So, hopefully, we can get out and enjoy the weather for the 4th.
4th of July, do you have any 4th of July plans?
No, we don't. I mean, this is typically, we go out of town for the 4th of July or go down to the lake, but we're going to stay in town and just watch fireworks here. You?
Where do you watch fireworks at?
You know, believe it or not, I've never watched fireworks in Johnston. Living in Johnston, I've never watched
you,
them there.
You bleed purple.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, see, my family's from Iowa Falls. My grandparents lived up there for, you know, 60, 70 years. So I always go to Iowa Falls for the 4th of July and visit my grandparents. And then we'd go down to Sun Valley Lake the last couple years. Now we're going to be just staying in Johnston. So I don't know. We might we'll have to find somewhere. I have no idea we're going to watch
come
it.
Come on up here. We'll do a barbecue and we'll Prairie Meadows.
Oh, Prairie Meadows has them.
A nice selection of fireworks.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. We do it every year.
Can you bet on some horses, too, while
it's
going on?
I believe you can.
That might be I can't bring Owen to that.
Yeah, you can. Keep him outside.
Think so?
Yeah, you can have the kids down there. Absolutely.
He'd actually have a blast.
No, we'll do that. All right, deal. Okay. So there's not a ton going on this week as far as Iowa State specific athletics go. This was so I'm coming up for topics of the podcast, Iowa State related, and this is what I have written down. The Matt helmets.
Yeah, hot topic.
I mean, this is breaking news. Iowa this is what cracks me up about this. So in a world where Oregon has literally built a football program off of crazy uniforms. Is that too much? They have a ton of money from Phil Knight and Nike.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you think – if I ask a casual sports fan, hey, what do you think of when you think of Oregon football? You think of crazy uniforms.
Yeah, I would say most people would agree with that.
Baylor's got in the game. Baylor's got some funky – uniforms. It's a recruiting tool.
Yes, it is.
You want to go nuts with these uniforms because the kids like it. You know, they got the gloves where they put their hands together and it forms some sort of a shape.
The school logo.
I just think it's that Iowa State's version of spicing things up is, hey, we're going to take the regular Cardinal helmet and we're going to make it a matte paint job helmet.
So what do you think of it?
No, I like it.
You do?
I think it looks sharp. It's just, to me, it's like, it's kind of underwhelming. Now, I'm glad they didn't make a big deal out of this. They simply put out a press release.
Yeah.
They're not trying to. Paul Rhodes even is quoted in the release saying, I'm a traditional guy, yada, yada, yada.
Pretty much he's saying he doesn't really like them, but he understands
Rhodes
they need
is basically saying, hey, listen, I'm told that we got to do something like this, so this is as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah.
That's how I understood it.
I've never understood people getting crazy or showing a lot of emotion over jerseys and helmets. To me, I don't care.
Yeah, we just win, right?
Yeah, just win. I mean, we could go out wearing white T-shirts, and if we go 12-0, I'm ecstatic. They put the helmets out, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
You're right, though. A lot of people are like obsessed with the uniforms.
Oh, our threads on the Cyclone Fanatic are crazy when it comes to uniforms.
Yeah. There's like Twitter feeds that exist solely to create these like paintings or drawings of fake uniforms that do not exist.
And, you know, I'll be honest, they look cool when I see them. And whoever does that Twitter account, I think
that's
some great work.
Unbelievable. Whoever that guy is, you are my freaking hero, man. I love that guy's stuff. Iowa State seriously needs to call that guy up and be like, dude, give us some ideas.
Yeah, he's got great stuff. We're saying he could be a she.
To me, I feel like Iowa State is the perfect type of school that needs to branch out and do crazy uniforms. You need to do anything you can do to make your brand cool.
How expensive is that, though? To have
usually Nike is, I think.
picks up the bill on that?
I don't know.
You were thinking that, though, because Oregon, of course, they're going to pick up Oregon's bill.
Yeah, and they're going to do it to the higher profile schools because they can sell it.
Yep.
And that would not be the case with Iowa State. But just like the women's basketball, remember they had the gray uniforms last year?
Yeah.
Why can't the men do that?
I don't know.
Let's switch it up. Let's be cooler than everybody else.
You may
not be better in football. You're probably not, but you can be cooler.
Hey, Chris, if it helps us win football games, I'm all for it. If it excites recruits and gets kids here, then do it. Otherwise, I don't care. I don't care what we look like on the field, because if we look great and we go 3-9 again, nobody's happy.
Well, it's better to go 3-9 and look good while doing it.
Says who?
No, me.
Oh, you, okay. Yeah. Well, are you like the golfer? Well, I shot a 110, but man, my Puma pants and shirt really looked good today. I was looking like Fowler.
In fact, I hate Ricky Fowler strictly because of that.
Oh, how can you hate Fowler swag, man?
I don't like him.
Okay.
We don't need to get into Ricky Fowler talk. I was about ready to get a whole conversation started on Ricky Fowler until I remembered that 99% of our audience, he's a Big 12 guy. That's where I was going to get
into. He's an Oklahoma State guy.
Yeah.
And you know what? He looks great, but I'll tell you what, if he misses a cut, does anyone care what Ricky Fowler's wearing?
No.
Nobody cares.
No.
Same thing for Iowa State football. If you don't win games, I don't care what we're wearing.
Well, at least it's not. And my dad and I had this conversation over the weekend about how much we just despise those old, with the blue. You remember those back in the 90s?
Oh, yeah. Why we ever had blue, I don't
know. Oh, my God. I'll say this. Whoever made that decision.
Yes. What are you going to say?
It needs to be fired.
If they haven't been already.
I assume that person is long gone. And I don't know who exactly. I think Chizik was responsible for the changing of the logo initially.
Just the I-State?
The I-State. From what I understand, Chizik was big time behind that and getting back to the Cardinal and gold, which
good job. Good job.
I'm not crazy. I am still not crazy about the I-State logo.
Oh, see, that is one thing I love. I love the I-State.
Listen, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
It's just simple. I like it.
It's very simple. I thought, they let people like vote on it. I did not vote for that particular. I don't think it's bad. No, listen, I think it's a fine logo. I think it's very identifiable from a branding standpoint. I just like the incorporation of the mascot, Cy. I think he's a very cool mascot. He's a very hip mascot. I think that like that walking, where he's walking with the flag in the air. I really liked that.
I like that, too. As long as you weren't going to say you like the Cy mixed in with the tornado.
No.
Because that's the worst.
That's the worst. I agree.
That's awful.
That one's terrible.
Yeah. No, but I agree. The walking Cy. That's
like
a fantastic logo.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about hip, baby. I'm all about hip. And the I-State is a little. I wouldn't call it hip, but it's not bad. They could do a lot worse. I do love the color scheme that I was
saying. Sharp. It's overly creative.
You're not trying too hard.
Yeah,
which is good and it's bad at the same time. It's kind of like this Matt helmet. It's it's a nice change, but I think too that the majority of people would see those helmets trot out there and be like, not even know. My dad would never have a clue. Would your dad know that there's a difference in those helmets?
No.
Yeah. Now, the diehards on our board will be like, oh, my gosh, there's new helmets. They freak out over it.
I might notice it at first, but I never even think twice about it after that.
Yeah, yeah.
I find it funny. Whenever I'm on Twitter and a team's wearing a uniform, like Maryland, I think they had some crazy uniforms last year, and Twitter blows up about it. I would never think when watching a football game, man, that team's uniforms are just hideous, and think enough to post about it. I don't think about that. I look at the team. I know who's who, and uniforms are irrelevant from there.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm a uniform guy.
I believe that. You're kind of a little bit more prissy than me.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I'm a uniform guy. I like sharp, as my wife would call it, I like sharp outfits. She calls them outfits.
Well, that's why me and you both love Mr. B's clothing.
Yeah.
It's because we like sharp outfits.
Absolutely. No, but the new Matt helmet. Yeah, you know what? I'll give him a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs
I'm
up.
I'm fine with it. Yeah.
I'm indifferent.
I would like to see them do a little bit like an alternate uniform.
Yeah.
The throwbacks last year were sweet, I thought, against the Hawks. Remember those?
Yeah.
Those were sweet. I'd like to see a black Iowa State football uniform.
That'd be nice. What about white? Everyone wants white.
No, that's...
No?
I'm not a white guy.
You don't want the white helmet that everyone's been asking for ever?
I could do without it. I'd rather do the black.
Okay.
Or gray.
But no black blue. Gray. But no blue.
I'll say this. If Iowa State ever comes out with blue uniforms again, we will shut down PsychOneFanatic.com.
For how long? Forever?
Forever. It's over. Like, I'm going to go on a new career path. It's done.
You should watch it. You know Jamie Pollard listens to this.
Yeah, he wants
he
this.
Wants it yeah. shut down so bad, he will make this
yeah.
happen.
Yeah. Okay. That was just speaking out of emotion. Moving on. Let's talk Little Capital City League basketball. There hasn't been a lot, Adam, that has happened since, you know, since the last podcast when Bloom was here last week. It's hard to really analyze a lot of Cap City League for reasons that we all have outlined numerous times. It's hard to grasp what you can take seriously, what you cannot, how much stock to put into anything. I think we have a very common ground, Bloom and I have, in our definition of the Cap City League, where you can tell if a guy is generally not – basically, if a guy's not producing in the Cap City League, he's not going to produce probably come Big 12 time.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically what you take from it. You don't take a 32-rebound night, and you don't form any sort of expectations in the Big 12 based off of that whatsoever.
There's no scientific formula that tells you what 32 rebounds equals in the Big 12.
There's no scientific formula, but there's the Williams and Bloom analysis, and I mean, isn't that just as good?
Is that
I mean, I'm asking you a question.
No.
Did you listen to the podcast last week?
Yeah, I listened to it.
We talked about it. We broke it down.
You broke it down, yeah.
Did you agree? I
absolutely agree with you. I mean, the only thing is I think you can see there's certain players that don't play well in the Capital City League, and I completely agree with you that they typically don't translate to playing well in Big 12. But I've also seen some guys that have absolutely killed it in the Capital City League who have never done anything in the Big 12 play.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Like Boo-Boo.
Boo-Boo.
Boo-Boo, for instance.
Sean Haluska.
Sean Haluska, yeah.
He used to dominate. Sharon Dorsey Walker last year.
Yeah.
I mean, dropped 3,000 points in a game.
Sharon Dorsey Walker, I got into a little bit of a scat with somebody on the boards yesterday. Get your opinion on this. So did you read, by any chance, did you read the Monday Musings?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Okay, so this would be a good route to go with this before we go back into the Capital City League. I was conversing with Naz Long, and he was talking about how there's just more competition this offseason because there's more numbers. There's more guys who are actual Big 12
and have experience.
Quality players, yeah, with experience than in years before. So I came up with a list of guys who I would call at this point a Big 12 caliber basketball player on the Iowa State roster.
Is this where you put your top nine?
Yes.
Okay.
And the names I came up with, and I can explain them at this, Bryce DeJohn Jones, there's no question, Dustin Hoge, Naz Long, which Naz Long I would not have had in this category at the start of last year.
No. It's crazy how people forget his freshman year, he did even less than what Matt Thomas did last year. He barely even played his freshman year.
Well, he didn't play. I mean, he was really bottoming out at about New Year's last year. He had that big game on the day that Johnny Orr died.
Yes.
Naz hit a bunch of shots on New Year's Eve, I believe. But then it wasn't until Oklahoma State where he hit those shots. And then he really got good at the end of the year. So I think January 1 last year, I wouldn't have put Naz on this list as a, quote, Big 12 quality player.
Isn't it amazing what one shot can do for a guy's confidence? Yeah. And when you're playing with confidence, how much better of a basketball player, better of an athlete in any sport you are.
Because you're not thinking, you're just playing.
It goes for a lot of guys. So
I've got Long. I've got Jameel McKay. I've never seen Jameel McKay in the Big 12, but I've seen enough and
heard enough.
Yeah, I'm comfortable putting him on there. I'm comfortable putting Abdul Nader on there for the same reasons. George Niang clearly is. Monte Morris clearly is. I think Matt Thomas is. He played Big 12 level basketball.
Yes,
in my mind last year. I think the best second best 3-point shooting percentage of freshman in Iowa State history. That's pretty good. And I put Clayton Custer on there. Now, that one, to me, you can make a legitimate argument that he doesn't belong on there based off of he hasn't done anything. But I think that I was like 51-49 on him.
Yeah.
And I lean towards positive. And
yeah, you're being positive.
And I threw him on there. I've heard enough people tell me now that he is the backup point guard to Monte Morris this year. So that tells me they believe he's going to be a Big 12 player.
So
I never once heard that about a guy like Naz Long heading into his freshman year. So that, So I left Adozie off. I left Sherron Dorsey Walker notably off. A guy on the forum disagreed with that Sherron Dorsey Walker should be considered a Big 12 quality player.
What was his reasoning?
That he's come a long way since he first got to campus and he's due for a breakout year. My argument is I've never seen it from Sherron, though. I'm not saying he won't. I think that he is, his head is in the right spot. He's clearly, when you watch him in the Capital City League, he is not as obsessed with hitting 10 threes in a game as he was a year ago. He's working on his defense. He's working on, he's doing those type of things. But so that's why I left Sherron off the list. It wasn't picking on the, I need to see him. He's had the opportunity in his career to prove that, you know, that he belonged to be on that, in that, that type of, and he didn't do it last year.
No.
He didn't do it when he went out there. He did not look like a Big 12 player when Fred Hoiberg gave him opportunities. So would you argue with, and how is Cook was off the list just because he's not eligible next
sure.
year? I think he is, based off of what he did in the Pac-12, another high major conference a year ago. But that's why he was off the list. And the Greek kid, you know, who knows? We don't know what to expect from him. Do you agree, disagree? Adozie is the last one. Sure, when he's playing that 5 minutes a game, collect a few fouls and grab some rebounds, roll. But that Daniel Adozie wouldn't play for many Big 12 teams.
Well, I think he'd play in the same regards he'll play for Iowa State as a guy that comes in at end of half to spell a guy who's in foul trouble.
Yeah, but does that mean you're a Big 12 caliber player, though?
Why not? Why not? It doesn't mean you're a Big 12 caliber starter, but a caliber player? Sure. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well,
wait, listen, I'm not killing him. I think he's very good at that role.
For what? For what?
But when you average, like, what did he play? Like 5 minutes a game?
Yeah.
Something like that? Like, come on.
For what Adozie is and how short of time he's been playing basketball.
I would agree with that.
I think he's very, he's good enough for what Iowa State needs him to be.
I would agree with
that. That's a guy that comes in and spells guys who are in foul trouble.
I would agree with that. But if he had to play 25 minutes a game, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Well, it's no different when Iowa State had the walk-ons under McDermott and we had Petey and Sean Haluska. They weren't bad basketball players. Problem with them is instead of them playing 5 minutes a game, they're playing 35
exactly.
minutes a game.
Exactly. It's like Patrick Neal or some of those defensive linemen Iowa State's had in the past. Those type of guys who are just so undersized. They're great when they're playing 10, 15 snaps.
Yep.
Try and have them play 30. You know, and that to me is kind of how I went through this. I feel like Iowa State could potentially win with Clayton Custer playing its point guard spot. I don't know if Iowa State could win with Sherron Dorsey Walker being their starting two guard. I don't know that. I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, and who do we – it's all hypothetical, obviously. Custer may come out and play 10 minutes a game next year. It's so early and it's so hard. But I did get a little bit of feedback from that that little list that I threw out there yesterday, so I thought I would clarify.
No, I agree with you on Sherron Dorsey Walker, and I think the talent's there for Dorsey Walker.
Absolutely.
But you hit the nail on the head. We haven't seen it. And the poster who said that – we've seen him improve. Where? I want to know.
Yeah, because the Cap City League with him has no merit there.
Here's a couple stats for you, Chris. He played in 5 Big 12 games all of last year, Sherron Dorsey Walker. He scored 2 total points.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The kid could end up being a great player for Iowa State for the next 3 years, and I hope he is.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
No.
So I absolutely agree with you leaving him off the list at this point in time.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, Sherron, I was so impressed when I wrote a story about him a couple weeks ago. That's a hard deal for a shooter.
Yeah.
And that's what he is, to just come to the realization, I've got to be better defensively. I've got to work on my – and he is hell-bent on doing those things.
Good.
That's very encouraging.
I don't think offensive talent has ever been an issue for him.
No.
I think they like his skill set. He's got long arms.
Yep. Good thing for him.
What?
Matt Thomas will be suspended.
Yes.
At the beginning of next year. Sherron Dorsey Walker.
He's got an opportunity.
Yeah, because Hollis Cook can't play.
Yep.
So Sherron's going to be a guy who those first few games, just think about if he can go out and hit 5 threes in a game, that would do for his confidence and what he could be for Iowa State 2 months down the road.
It's the same thing with Naz Long. All it takes is one big shot where you get a lot of confidence going, and then boom, just keep running with it. Now, how long do you think Thomas and Nader are going to be suspended?
Well, I'm going by like what the handbook says, and it's 10% of the season. So that would be like when a football player, you know, usually there's always a bunch of guys who miss one game.
Yeah.
It, you know, the first game of the year.
10%, so they kind of round down a little bit there.
So my theory
is three games.
Unless they count the exhibition.
Well, sure they should. Well, this is so Big 12 basketball, Chris. You count the exhibition.
If you
get
count,
them back on the court.
If you count the exhibition, then it would only be two games. If it is, which honestly, that could bleed into the Kansas City tournament, you know? And to be without Hogue, or excuse me, not Hogue, to be without Nader and Thomas, would that keep Iowa State from winning the first game in Kansas City against an opponent who has not been released yet? I don't know. I doubt it. It's like who are the teams? Arizona State, Maryland, and Alabama, I think, are in that tournament with Iowa State. So you don't know. Like, I think Iowa State could beat all those teams.
But it'd be nice to put it in full strength.
Yeah, but I can't guarantee it.
Yeah.
Can't guarantee it.
I'm guessing it's going to be 2 to 3 games.
It'll be two or three. It'll be one of the two.
Yeah. So
it hasn't been decided yet. And we probably won't know until media day, I would guess.
And the basketball program really hasn't even made a statement at all about it.
Fred has not talked.
Yeah. Which to me is smart.
There's
nothing. Just wait until the season starts.
He won't talk until media day.
Yep.
Yeah. So the schedule, that is what it is. Tell you what, though. That Georgia State,
they're gonna be good. That might be the best team on our non-conference schedule. Would you agree?
Better than Iowa, you think?
Come on, Chris. Come on.
You think they're better than the Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, granted, where are we playing Georgia State? Is that here at home? Is that at Hilton?
That's in Hilton on November 17th.
Well, the Hawks will be a harder game because they'll be in Carver. But
who do you think would win, Iowa and Georgia State?
Neutral court.
Yeah,
Georgia State.
Interesting.
Look at Georgia State's talent. Look at those kids they got coming in.
They got the kid from Louisville.
Yep, they got the ex-point guard from Kentucky.
They do have really good players.
That's
actually a fairly scary game.
I'm not saying that to troll Hawk fans either.
No, I know you're not. If you were just trying to troll Hawk fans, you would be honest about it.
Yeah, I would say that they would probably lose to Lipscomb next year too. Iowa being, but I'm not saying that.
Lipscomb.
Or maybe Campbell again. Well, who knows?
The Campbells. I can't say Campbell Camels. I want to put the B in the Campbell Camels. That was Campbell played at Iowa State a few years back. They actually, the Royce White year, I want to say.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I want to say that they were. It's funny about how these low major teams, you just remember obscure games when they played at Hilton Coliseum. Yeah, but so Georgia State. You want to put a team on upset alert. Anytime any high major is playing Georgia State this year, you're on upset alert. Am I wrong?
No, I completely agree with you. They're a team that you look to win their division or their conference and get into the NCAA tournament. Where do they fall on our schedule? What game are they?
That's the second game of the year.
We're in trouble in that one.
We're in trouble?
We're in trouble.
Yeah, because you don't have Nader and Thomas. It's in McCade. K's not there either.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We're in trouble. Adozie's going to have to play, and Tron Dorsey Walker's going to have to play. Those are two guys we just talked about.
You can live with Daniel Adozie against Georgia State.
Yeah, but can you imagine? It's a bit. If it's Daniel still a big Adozie drop between McKay and Adozie. That's still a big drop off.
Yeah, it's a huge drop off.
Yeah. No, can you? You're right, though. You can live with it. Yeah.
You can live with it, but you can't live with Daniel Adozie playing 25 against Kansas.
No.
That's the whole point to the whole, is that a guy, a Big 12 basketball player. Charles Boozer, back in the day, was a decent basketball player. He was not a Big 12 basketball player.
Absolutely not.
Just go through the McDermott years. That's the definition of the McDermott years at Iowa State. You had two or three guys who were Big 12 basketball players on those teams. Craig Brackens, Deontay Garrett, Rashawn Clark, I think, was a Big 12 basketball player.
Mike Taylor for a year. Wes Johnson for two years.
Wes Johnson.
Is that it? Hubalik been a...
I think Yuri Bolick may have been.
Yeah? What about...
Yuri Bolick wasn't bad.
No, he was. He had him for 1 year, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and, you know, he was such a mess when Greg got him.
Yep.
He
might actually had him for 2 years, now that I think about
it. Yeah, whatever. Dodie Dunson wasn't. Corey McIntosh wasn't.
Haluska and Petey weren't.
Neither one of those guys were.
Who were some of our other bigs? Clayton Vetti we had for just a short
Clayton
period of
Vetti,
time.
Clayton Vetti, I don't know if he ever even suited up.
Clinton Mann wasn't.
Clinton Mann absolutely was not.
You're right, though. That's a big difference. We
Corey
had three.
Johnson.
No. Corey Johnson was not a Big 12
guy. Wes Eichmeyer wasn't.
Nope.
That's my point. Like, you can be a good basketball player, but that doesn't mean you're a good Big 12 basketball player. And that's when I look at this roster, I see a legitimate 10 deep, potentially, of Big 12 basketball players.
I completely agree with you.
That was the point of that.
And they don't all have to be stars. As you even see, you see in the NBA draft, Iowa State had no players drafted, and we won the Big 12 tournament.
Yep.
We were in the Sweet 16, and we were George Niang injury away from even maybe going further than that. With zero NBA caliber players, in my opinion.
And let me add to this. It doesn't mean that a guy who is not a, quote, by our standards, Big 12 basketball player isn't valuable. Daniel Adozie proved himself to be very valuable.
We won a couple games with the help of Daniel Adozie last year.
Absolutely. I mean, in your role, guys, it's fine. My point is, if you're asking a guy to be more than that, you're in trouble.
Yeah, those guys can't average more than 10 minutes a game.
Correct.
Less 5 to 8.
And that this conversation, again, I think can bleed into football. Iowa State's got a lot of good players, but when you ask them to be primary players,
yeah,
they in the Big 12, they're just simply okay. You need a little bit more pop than that if you want to do more than 6-6. All right, Cap City League. So we have a new sponsor.
Well, not a new sponsor.
Well, no, but new to the genre of Capital City League coverage.
Yes, that is true.
Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine. You may remember Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine 5 questions from the Cyclone Fanatic radio show that has been renewed, by the way, 6 to 7 Thursday nights, football, basketball seasons on 1460 KXNO. All of our
Chris,
remaining...
I hate to cut you off right now, but your father, Mike Williams, is giving me a call. Should I answer this in the middle of the podcast, or should we keep
what
going?
What is my dad calling
you? I don't know. This isn't a live podcast either, but...
Dad, we're going to put you on hold.
All right. Sorry about that, Mike. Chris made me, so you know, if I ignored it.
Capital Orthopedics Sports Medicine. They also have a team at the Capital City.
They do. The best team, in my opinion. Have you seen that roster?
I mean, they've got Abdul Nader.
Yes. Who Bloom took with the number one pick.
With his number one pick.
His number one pick.
I had the number one pick and clearly did not take him. I went with
George.
I went with George Niang. I don't think that you could. George Niang, former Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine player last year.
Got demoted to a worse team this year.
Yeah, his Renaissance Granite,
yeah.
I believe. I'm pulling up the rosters right now, but this I mean, this clearly, now that they are the presenting sponsor on CycloneFanatic.com, I feel like all Fanatics should really get behind this unbelievable Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine team.
Really,
Abdul Nader, Clayton Custer, you've got Graham Woodard from Drake.
Very underrated player, Graham.
I mean, Graham could be...
What are his stats? Can you pull up his stats so far?
I don't have the statistics. He's probably averaging at least 10 assists.
Yeah.
With Nader and Custer there.
Just dropping dimes.
You've got Scott Hahn from Quincy. I mean, whoever drafted this Capital Orthopedics team, this is the team, man. This is... I generally show up at the Cap City League with no rooting interest in mind. But now, I mean, this is my team. Adam Thorson, the head coach, props to you, man. You've got the top grade A sponsor. And on behalf of everybody at CycloneFanatic.com who appreciates the sponsorship of Cap City League coverage, courtesy of Capital Orthopedics, we are expecting Coach Thorson and the boys to bring home a championship.
Yeah. You know, I actually just had a t-shirt made up. It says in the front, "I believe that we will win," and then # Capital City Orthopedics.
Yeah.
Or Capital Orthopedics. Yeah. So, I mean,
I love this team.
It's a good team. I mean, Custer is one of these kids, too. He brings it.
Yeah.
For this.
He scrambles, man.
Is he this year's Boo Boo Powell? As far as the Capital City League goes?
I think he's. Ooh, no.
He's not that good yet?
No. Boo Boo was. clearly better than Boo Boo in the Cap City League. I'm telling you, it was a thing of beauty.
When are they going to retire his jersey there?
They need to. Nas Long is, I think, if he wouldn't have hurt his groin.
He was.
Sounds painful.
That does.
Nas was telling me about it the other night.
Oh.
Oh, poor guy. Nas Long, I think, will go down as the successor to Boo Boo Paolo as a Capital City League. Not just an all-star. A legend.
A legend.
Yeah. Boo Boo was, it didn't matter who you threw against him, Boo Boo was better. Royce White, Chris Allen, Chris Babb, I would draft Boo Boo over any of those guys in the Cap City League. He's unbelievable when you get him in the Valley Southwoods Gymnasium.
Now he's going to Colorado State, right?
Yep, he's going to play for Leapin' Larry.
Which they're playing competition level. It's very similar to the Capital City League.
Boo Boo Paolo is another one of those guys. Is he a Big 12 guy?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But if you put him at Colorado State, he's going to be a damn good player out there.
I'll tell you what. What we just said by saying Boo Boo Paolo is not a Big 12 player, you know people are going to – that's going to get people fired up, Chris.
Well, I mean
– they're not going to agree.
Played some good defense a few times.
Yeah. He did great.
His
five
role.
To 5 to 10 minutes.
It's all about the role,
yep.
Like we've talked about. Would you want Boo Boo to be one of your primary guys?
The thought of it makes me want to. Remember this time last year, we thought he's going to be our starting point guard?
And that was all the reports, though, coming out of. And everybody was saying that. I think Randy Peterson was sitting right here. He would agree with me. Boo Boo really looked good throughout the summer months. And that's why I really think now that this legal stuff is behind him and he has a fresh start, I think he's going to be a really good player for Larry. I really do. I think he could be like all league out there.
I'm cheering for the kid.
I hope
I really
so.
Am.
I'm saying that right now, July 1st, 2004. I think Boo Boo Paolo, as long as you know the off the court stuff is behind him, all that, I think he could be all league out there.
Wow.
I really do.
That's big. That's a big prediction.
I think he could be.
I think he'll do very well. I don't think he'll be all-league.
It's going to be tough. He really hasn't played much competitive ball for a long time.
And as much as I joke about it, that is a good conference. That's a very good basketball conference.
I think Boo Boo could be a very good player out there.
Is he going to lock up Rashad Vaughn? Just D him up?
Yeah. I think who do you like there? You like Rashad Vaughn versus Boo Boo Paolo one-on-one?
I would sure hope that Rashad Vaughn could take him on the low block.
What if Rashad Vaughn was just vastly overrated?
What if he was? Then Iowa State wasted even more money recruiting him than we already thought. That's harsh.
What does that mean?
Well,
like the official visit. I thought you were insinuating something.
No, I mean going out to staying in Vegas as much as they were, and they didn't get him.
Man,
and then,
you know something nobody else
knows? No, I didn't mean anything illegal.
Christmas. All right.
Calm down, NCAA.
Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Again, this is our official endorsement that is our – I don't care what records show. I don't care statistics. I don't care about any of that. All I know is that's my pick to win the Capital City League this year.
Mine as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot.
And it's not even close. I mean, sure, you could go, hey, the Walnut Creek YMCA and Jameel McKay and Hollis Cook, they look really good. I mean, they're killing everybody right now. Well – they may have beaten Capital Orthopedics so far this year, but not a Psycho Fanatic podcast endorsed Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine team.
They're starting to peak at the right time.
Yeah,
just like Iowa State last year in basketball.
Yeah.
Starting to peak in the postseason play.
They are, and Adam Thorson, in my opinion, is a lot like Fred Hoiberg. And his teams, generally, you know, the closer they get to March, and in this case, mid-July, that is when Coach Thorson's teams really peak.
They do because teams aren't used to seeing their offense, that spread-out offense where they're just shooting and chucking.
Yeah, Thorson's got a lot up his sleeves right now. I mean, he's got some tricks up his sleeves. Moving on. I want to talk a couple other basketball topics. This whole this Jason Kidd deal.
Puke.
Hey, this is another note I had for the podcast, all right? This whole Jason Kidd deal, WTF.
I don't get it, Chris.
So for the non-NBA fan listening, Jason Kidd had a pretty vanilla year with Brooklyn last year, right?
Yeah, they were
horrible there for a while. He had a bunch of old guys on his
team. He had old guys, and one of his best players, Lopez, ended up getting injured out for the year.
But he's a rookie coach on a team that I think a lot of people thought underachieved.
Yes, they did.
And And this guy is now being traded to Milwaukee, who was horrible.
Who has a coach already.
Yeah.
Well, had a coach.
I mean, Milwaukee was like TCU. This is an atrocious basketball team.
Awful.
And so you're trading Jason Kidd for, like, what, two second round picks. 2 second round picks where Bloom gave the stat last week. What, like 10% of them make the league?
Or, yep.
I cannot wrap my head around. So, one, why does Jason Kidd want to leave? Because that organization had his back. There are a lot of people, can this guy coach? He's never coached before. Can he get through to the team, et cetera? Why does he want to go to Milwaukee? And two, but most importantly, why does Milwaukee want Jason Kidd?
I don't know the answer to the last question. Why do they want Jason Kidd?
I don't know.
But I don't know why the Nets wanted him to begin with. There is nothing that he has shown to say that he was going to be a good NBA coach.
I don't know Jason Kidd, but I'm just going by his record. He's not a great guy either.
No.
Like, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this whole story here.
Doesn't he have a couple of domestic abuse?
There's something like that, yeah.
But here's the thing, Chris. He's got a huge ego. He goes in and says, hey, no, I didn't do that great. I mean, I was okay as a first-year head coach. We weren't that good. But I want more power. I want to have more say in who we pick up and who we don't pick up. And the Nets, smartfully, I might add, say, you're not ready. We don't think that's right for you. You just worry about coaching. He throws a hissy fit. He goes out and says, I want to interview with Milwaukee, who has a coach already. And now not only does he go to Milwaukee, but another coach loses his job for Jason Kidd to come in, a coach who has more experience than Jason Kidd, I might add. If you were a coach or anyone, can you imagine taking someone else's job like that who hasn't been let go yet?
Just step on somebody's throat just because you can.
Just because, yeah.
It's a nasty world.
I hope Jason Kidd, I hope they go 0-82 next year.
If you're a Milwaukee fan, though, how can you even be excited about this?
No idea.
I mean, how does this guy get you excited? You get a young player like Jabari Poe, and this guy is who we're going to use to develop him?
It's not like Jason Kidd's playing. He's not a player coach. He's not doing both.
He's not Manny Ramirez.
No. No, he's not.
He is no Man Ram. That whole deal was weird to me. I clearly am not a Jason Kidd fan. I tell you who I am a fan of, though, is Doug McDermott. And my Chicago Bulls have acquired the trade of the century, McBuckets.
Whoa. Trade of the century. No, don't get me wrong. I am stoked that he is on the Bulls. I love it. I think they need a shooter.
So you're going to root for my Bulls now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be a Bulls fan, but I'll root for Dougie McBuckets, absolutely.
All right.
But
trade of the century.
How do you figure?
It's McBuckets.
You think McBuckets is worth two first-rounders, a 16 and 19 right now?
Yeah, because they weren't going to be able to sign those guys and be able to get Carmelo Anthony. They didn't have enough money.
That makes sense. It only works. That trade only works if they get Carmelo. If they don't get Carmelo Anthony, that's not the trade of the century.
But I don't think that they were going to – they were just honestly one of those – and I've studied this. One of those picks, they were just going to take a European guy and ship him off.
Stash him.
So they weren't going to get two picks anyways.
Yeah.
No, it's the trade of the century because you got McBuckets. Has there ever been another trade with a guy named McBuckets?
No, not that I know of.
That's why it's the trade of the century.
I can't argue with that logic.
If the Bulls get Melo, woo!
Well, so then you'll have Melo and you'll have McBuckets, but who else will you have?
Taj Gibson.
Okay, I like Taj.
Joakim Noah.
Yeah, he's good. No point guard, though. Who's your point guard?
They need a point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying. They've got some warm bodies on their roster, but I don't think any of them can play.
No, not, at least in the last decade.
You want the fan in me to come out right now?
Yeah, let's hear it.
You want the fan in me
let's
to come
hear
out?
It. Let's
try
hear it.
And keep things fairly mellow on the podcast quite often.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Derrick Rose is out there the other day talking about how it's not his job to recruit other players to Chicago.
What do you think about that?
Let me ask you something, Derrick Rose. What is your job? Because you don't play.
No.
You don't ever play.
God, he's got a tweaked hammy.
He broke a nail in shoot around the other day, and he's out for 20 games. Now, when a guy blows out his knee, I got a lot of sympathy for that. He comes back, the meniscus thing, what happens to him, I got a lot of sympathy for that. That's a tough break, and it sucks. But shut your mouth about this. You haven't done anything for the last 2 years. If the GM calls you up and says, hey, will you make a call to Carmelo Anthony for me? Make the damn phone call. You think Kobe Bryant's doing that to Mitch Kupchak? You think Kobe's not going to make a phone call for Mitch? Heck no.
Well, first off, let's not compare Kobe to
No, my Rose. Point is but you want to be a legit superstar. No, you're going to work.
I agree with you on that. But
you can't play right now. Do what you can do to help your team.
You're killing him, though. What, who's to say if the Bulls GM calls him that he won't do that? We don't know. He's just saying it's not.
No! This is a quote. Like 2 days
I know. Ago. I saw the quote. But he's just saying, I'm not going to go out there. But I bet you if the Bulls asked, I would like to think that he would.
Well, I would like to think so, too.
But I agree. The quote's bull, okay?
Come on.
Do you want to win? Then go try to recruit some top-tier talent to come with you. Because I guarantee you guys like Melo want to play with a talent like Derrick Rose.
Absolutely. And I'm not killing Derrick Rose for being injured the last 2 years. I'm not.
I kind of am a little bit.
I thought the whole. We're on the same page around about that.
Yeah, we are. We're
on the same page. But, like. It's not his fault that he got injured. And that's a really raw deal for an athlete to recover from a knee injury, which is hard. I mean, you just got done with your Achilles. That's hard work. Can you imagine playing basketball at the top level in the sport after something like that?
No.
An Achilles, I think, would be fairly similar to something like, you know, blowing out your knee. I mean, it's a dramatic injury to come back from and then have to make cuts and play at that level. It's brutal.
But he sat out even longer than your typical one. He sat out a year and a half before even coming back the first time.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying like he fought and it sucks that he got hurt again. But in lieu of what has gone down, don't give me a quote like that. I don't want to hear a quote like that.
I agree.
Say, you know what, I'll do whatever they ask me to do.
I agree.
Now, I want the team to win.
I here's the thing, though. I think me and you both agree that Thibodeau is one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Yeah.
Fantastic defense coach. If they can get Carmelo and they can somehow coach that guy to play some defense.
Oh, yeah.
Rose, McBuckets,
woo!
Anthony, Gibson, and Noah, get out. That starting five can win it.
Oh, I think so.
I mean, that's a dynamite starting five. If Rose is healthy. If he's healthy.
Get Charles Boozer. Carlos Boozer. He gone.
All of a sudden, they went from a team last year that couldn't score. And all of a sudden, they have three guys that legitimately can put up 30 any night.
All right, going to wrap this thing up. Athlon, the Big 12 rankings. We're just do some quick hits on this, Adam, because we don't want to take too much time. 1, 2, 3 goes Oklahoma, Baylor, Texas. Any arguments with that? You got to consider the schedule here. You know, I looked at it, and I thought Baylor might be getting slighted there. Not after looking at the schedule. Baylor's got to go to Oklahoma. They got to go to Texas this year. Clearly, you know, Oklahoma's got the Red River Shootout, but their tough games are all at home. Bobby Stoops has kind of developed the reputation of being like a 10-2 guy. No matter what they have, they're always going to go 10-2-ish.
Yeah.
But I think they're the clear pick to win the league.
They are, and especially the Trevor Knight's final game against Alabama. I mean, it had to done wonders for his confidence going into this year.
Yeah.
So they have a quarterback who's come back who's got tremendous talent, high confidence, and you put it with Oklahoma, the rest of the surrounding talent. I'll put them number one. But I will say this. Is Texas not the biggest wild card? Do they not have the biggest?
That's funny.
They could go anywhere from 1 to 7.
One of the editors from Athlon, I do a lot of work with Athlon, so I've gotten to know these guys quite a bit. And I did a 5-question deal. It'll be on the site, I think, later this week. And I'm asking them about how they came about these rankings. And I said the same thing to him. How do you project this year's Texas team? It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think if David Ash is there, it obviously helps him out a lot. But, I mean, you can't just base it off of that. But there's so many question marks with the new coach.
Yes.
With the talent. Because I feel like they've had talent under Mac Brown.
On paper, obviously not when you get to NFL draft, as last year they had zero guys drafted.
Well, they haven't been developing them.
They haven't
been developing them. So, okay, so 2, 3, 4. Baylor, Texas, Kansas State. And by the way, Adam, you're not on the record here for anything you say right now. We can move these around. We'll make our picks before the season. But, Are you confident? Are you happy with those guys at 2, 3, 4? Kansas State at 4. I think that realistically, I think those three teams could go any way. I really do.
What about Oklahoma State?
I think they're down this year. I think it's a down year for them.
You think so? Yeah. Okay. I was going to say you could rotate them, Kansas State, and Texas. And to me,
I think Oklahoma State finally has a legitimate down year.
Okay.
7-5, something like that.
God, I'd love 7-5. Yeah,
you're down here. I know. No, but I actually, I think that if you're scouring Iowa State's schedule for possible Paul Rhodes upset specials, I think at Stillwater could be potentially one of them.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be great. No, I think 2-3-4 looks good. I mean, West Virginia is not going to sneak up there.
West Virginia Athlon has ranked behind Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I know Bloom's got a big crush on Dana Holgorsen, but he's an offensive coordinator. He's not a head coach.
No, yeah, he's not a leader of men.
No, he's not. And
well, he hasn't proven to be.
He's just like Charlie Weiss at Kansas. Great offensive coordinator, can't be a head coach.
Athlon has Charlie Weiss going 0-9 again in the Big 12.
That's impressive.
There's no way he makes it out if that's the case. Iowa State at 8. I think 6, 7, 8, and 9 are total wild cards with TCU, Texas Tech, Iowa State, and West Virginia. I think we're rolling dice with those four teams.
Who's going to be the quarterback for Texas Tech?
It's the one kid. He was there last year.
Didn't their starter leave? The walk-on?
Yeah. But Brewster?
Oh, is Brewster back?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. I'm going to double-check on that here because I want for the sake of accuracy. But I believe two of them left.
Two of the three left,
and
yeah.
One of them is still around.
Okay.
I think it is Brewster. But, yeah, I mean, you see my point, though.
Yeah.
This, again, is a league that's shaping up to be just a total crapshoot.
It is.
Every single time you go out there.
And really, would it surprise you if Bill Snyder said, hey,
no.
took the league in that first place?
Well, that's why I think – like, I had it as a 2-3, like, who do you like with Baylor and Texas? But it wouldn't surprise me at all if – it would not surprise me at all if Kansas State would jump up into that mix. Because I think Jake Waters is a really good quarterback.
Who he didn't offer. But I
don't know why Iowa State.
I don't either. I shouldn't even bring it up. But I agree. I think he's just a solid quarterback. You know, he's kind of in the mold of, like, the Todd Reesing at Kansas from a couple years back. And hopefully what Grant Rohatch can be. Just a guy that doesn't make mistakes, can make a little bit of plays with his feet. That what Jake Waiters is going to be next year is what I hope Grant Rohatch can be for Iowa State.
Looking at this.
Texas Tech?
Davis Webb is the one who's still there.
Oh, Davis Webb is. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. Brewster's gone. I knew they still have one of the guys from last year. No, I think just going through the Athlon, and I'm almost all the way through the Big 12 preview edition featuring Quentin Bundridge on the cover.
Nice.
I am even more convinced now that this is a total crapshoot. And you know what? We've seen a lot of times, Adam, in the last 10, 15 years where, you know, Oklahoma's a clear-cut number one in the league, national title contender, and that's when Oklahoma will go like 9-3. So I don't think that's a lock either.
No, I don't think there's any locks out there.
But I found it encouraging, though. Athlon has Iowa State 8th and like 66 or something overall or 50 something like that.
Would they have us at 4-8, I'm guessing?
Yeah. After 3-9, I mean, again, you've got to take the national publications for what they are. These people do not know the ins and outs of Iowa State football. They do not.
I'll be honest.
It's a lot off of what have you done for me lately.
Yeah. Well, even fans on our website, if you asked them, I would say a lot of them say 4-8.
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm a little bit more optimistic than some. I think 5-7.
Yeah, and we were – the whole defensive line is the changing tone for both of us. I think.
Yeah.
In the offseason.
If they would have had Co-Irving.
If they had Irving, Jensen, all three.
I would say 6-6. I really would, Chris.
And I think that you maybe even could potentially go higher than that even. Potentially. I'm not saying I would pick that, but I'm saying if everything goes right.
There would be wins to be had to get you there. Yes.
But I don't know if that's necessarily.
And as awful as last year was, and it was pathetically bad, 3-9, terrible. They're two plays away from being 5 and
yeah, and they ended
5-7.
They ended well. They beat the end of Iowa State's schedule. You know what the key to the season and we'll leave
survive.
Yeah,
survive.
This is how we'll leave the podcast because again we're with Dallas coming up. We got a lot of Big 12 football to talk about. The last four games on Iowa State's schedule are Kansas at Kansas, where we're taking a bus to. By the way,
oh yeah, hey half. We got half a bus already filled out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we're
taking two buses?
Taking two buses, November 8th, and it's already half full.
Woo! At Kansas, Texas Tech, West Virginia, those are both at home, at TCU. All four winnable games.
Oh, man.
survive.
If they could have three wins going into that.
That's my point. Do what you have to do against North Dakota State, Toledo, and beat somebody else. You got a shot, Adam.
Yeah, you do.
The end of that schedule is not very strong.
And we saw how Texas Tech fell apart at the end of last year.
Realistically, at this point in the Paul Rhodes era, you should be able to beat these Texas Tech and West Virginia teams at home.
Yes.
Those should be wins. And they should win at Kansas. And I think they can win at TCU. Because I think I have the theory on TCU now. I'm not high on them this year like I was last. If that team loses a few games early, they could just curl up and die and not play for Gary Patterson anymore. So they're an opportunity at the end of this schedule. But they've got to have the guys. You can't have your entire starting lineup injured like it was last year and rattle off any of those wins. You've got to be healthy enough to do it. And that's the gauntlet that is the string of Kansas State, Iowa, Baylor, Oklahoma State. You got a hiccup against Toledo, but then Texas and Oklahoma. How healthy are you come November 8th when you've got to go to Lawrence? That's the key to the season.
That is a key.
Adam, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a great 4th of July. Everybody out there, be safe. Thanks to Mr. B Clothing, 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. Pop on over. Tim's got his summer sale going on over there at Mr. B's. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, everybody.